How's it going? Hope you've had a superb sporting week. It's that time of the week again for another instalment of your weekly sports podcast, Talking Point. That's the forum where we engage and debate with our top citizen sports journalists who keep you in the loop every day on our print and online portals. And from time to time, of course, we get some regular guests in, so look out for those. Welcome to it. My name's Trevor Kramer. Well, rugby's still very much centre stage as we head into week five of the Rugby World Cup in France. The Springboks have a bye this week as the pool action wraps up and the quarterfinal places are determined. But it's also cricket's turn to churn the emotions and get the heart rate up a little bit. The 50-over format, or ODI Cricket World Cup, got underway on Thursday in India. So joining me on the Talking Point hotline this week is senior citizen sports writer Wesley Botten. Wes wears many specialist hats, one of them being cricket at the moment. Wes, welcome again to Talking Point.
Thanks, Trev. Always good to chat, man.
Let's get straight on to the cricket pitch, Wes. I'll open the bowling and you can take guard and fend off any potential bounces that may come your way. Much of the sporting focus has admittedly been on the Rugby World Cup in France. So the Cricket World Cup and our Proteas pretty much flying or dancing under the radar in this build-up. Let's start by looking at that build-up. Off to a disastrous start, they suffered a 3-0 whitewash to the Aussies in a T20 series, back-to-back defeats in the first two ODIs. Then something seemed to have just clicked, three straight wins against the Aussies. Not the usual high profile attached to an Aussie tour, sadly. Maybe that's the timing, perhaps. They lost a warm-up to New Zealand this week, but I'm not sure how consequential that is. But let's go a bit further back and not forget, of course, how desperately close they actually came to not gaining direct qualification to this World Cup. Wes, do you feel their seemingly low-profile build-up? They've been overshadowed by the Springboks, no doubt. Less pressure, and I'm going to say it, lower expectations perhaps from supporters might just give us an indication of what we might see ahead or what we can expect from the Proteas in the next six or so weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they are kind of flying in under the radar, which I think is fair, just in terms of what the Springboks have achieved in comparison to the cricket team. When there's overlap in a World Cup like this, the Boks are going to take center stage. The Proteas have to win, you know, if they want sort of more support. But like you say, maybe it's not a bad thing. They do seem very relaxed, you know, just in the kind of press conferences that we've had with them. Everybody seems pretty chilled. Nobody seems like they're really feeling a lot of pressure. They didn't take, I don't think, too much out of that warm-up game. I think they were glad just to give a lot of guys a bit of a chance to bowl, and some of them got some time with the bat in Indian conditions. But you know, in general, they've had a bit of a wobbly build-up, like you say. They almost didn't qualify. Well, they almost had to play in a qualifying tournament, which is a bit silly. And then they had a massive gap of like 5 months where they played no international cricket, although, you know, most of the guys were playing in T20 leagues around the world. And then they came back. They didn't start well against Australia, but obviously got a lot of confidence because they got three big wins just at the end of that tour. So, in general, I think you know, they seem pretty relaxed, pretty comfortable. I don't know, Trev. I think I just have a sneaky feeling. I think this might be their year.
Browsing through the Proteas squad, Wes, that's a bold statement you've just made, but we'll move on to that one a bit later again. Browsing through the Proteas squad, eight players who haven't been to a World Cup, including Captain Themba Bavuma, an impressive fast bowling contingent, three spin options, including Aidan Markram, if we add him to the equation. A pretty formidable batting lineup. Some of the most exciting finishes in the game as well. But Wes, one thing that potentially jumps up at you, it's in your face, is the fact we may be a touch light on all-rounders in the squad. Effectively, we only have Marco Jansen and Andile Pehlekwayo as the all-rounders. Your take, Wes, a little light perhaps there, do you feel?
Yeah, it's a little bit risky, I think. You know, obviously, all-rounders give you multiple options. And to have some guys to be able to back people up, you know, with the bat and the ball is obviously very useful. Like you say, we've got an incredible team of specialists. The problem is that once, you know, if anybody picks up an injury, they're probably going to have to call in reinforcements, because I suppose you could call Aidan Markram an all-rounder of sorts. He can turn the ball, but he's not a genuine all-rounder. And only having two, Marco Janssen's in really good form, but if something happens to him, then all we've got really is Andile Kesler-Quayle kind of filling that role. And, yeah, like I said, they're probably going to have to call in someone, and then I don't know who they call in. So it's a bit strange for South Africa. We've had such incredible all-rounders over the years, and for us to be a little light in that department is maybe a little bit scary. But Rob Walter obviously doesn't seem to worry about it. He seems happy with the squad that he's got, and I suppose they've got a plan if something does happen to Marco Janssen. But, yeah, I think it is a bit of a worry.
You mentioned Rob Walter. It's a new era under the tutorship of Rob Walter. An astute coach, good man manager. I had experience with him previously when I was covering cricket when he was with the Titans. A big one on fitness and conditioning as well. Now, Walter makes no apologies, it seems, for bringing out aggressive, high-risk cricket in the Proteas. But in the 50-over game, one also needs to focus to a degree on building an innings. 250 to 280, we're learning very, very fast. Doesn't seem to be the ballpark figure anymore in this format of the game. Refreshing, yes, Wes. Entertaining, yes. But high risk as well.
Very high risk. But I think you know, like you're saying, Trev, one of the problems, well, not a problem, but one of the things about 50-over cricket, and I suppose this is, you know, because of the rise of the T20 game and the way that it's changed cricket just generally, you know, even test cricket has changed. It is more kind of electric and it's quick. You know, you've got to score runs fast and you've got to put up big scores. And I think that the Proteas have realized this. You know, you can go into a World Cup and you can be consistent and you can pick up wins and whatever, but, you know, you've got to be able to also chase massive scores if someone puts them up. And to be able to do that, the players have to be comfortable with the fact that they can take those chances. And I think Walter's done that. I think he's kind of introduced a style of play where the guys are allowed to take more chances without getting, like, immediate consequences. You know, they're not going to be dropped from the team if they don't come off. What we need, though, because we have such explosive batters and we've got such a great bowling lineup. So what you really need is only for one or two batters to come off, right? So the guys are so good that they can pretty much carry the lineup. You just need two of them. So if, you know, three or four of the other batters don't come off, it's okay. They obviously do have to play their role, and there will be games where everybody has to step up. But I think the guys are comfortable knowing that, you know, if I give it a go and I lose my wicket early, I'm not going to be punished when I get back to the change room. And it's created a more relaxed environment in the team. It's made them more aggressive. And like we saw against Australia, when they win big, which is great. That's exactly, I think, what is needed at a World Cup these days, even in the 50-over game. So, yeah, I think that style of play is what's going to be required if we're going to lift the trophy. And I really do like that Rob Walter is allowing the players to be able to play that sort of game without, you know, like I said, immediate consequences.
Wes, you made a bold statement a bit earlier, but I'm going to bowl that bouncer now. I'm choosing this over to bowl you the bouncer. A big question. Can we finally turn our bitter relationship with the World Cup into a loving one? Yes, the Proteas taking some decent momentum into the tournament, but like it or not, and most of the current crop probably wouldn't know about what it feels like, but they're certainly aware of it. But even in the cricket media, we carry that choker's tag around with us, Wes. Do you feel the potential for a different outcome finally?
Well, obviously, I hope so. And, you know, I think just the odds are on our side, if nothing else. I mean, we really should have won the Cricket World Cup by now. And if you go back, and we all know a lot of the bad luck that we had over the years. And, you know, sometimes we just lose the wrong game in the first round and that sort of thing. And it comes back to bite us. You know, I think, like I was saying, the way that they're playing the game, the style that they're playing at the moment is suitable in terms of trying to win a World Cup. You're not going to be doing it without playing that sort of aggressive brand of cricket. And I think the players are in good form. You know, I think the inconsistency that we've seen is more about them trying to put up those big scores than anything else. And hopefully they do find some consistency in the tournament. But honestly, we have such a good team. Hopefully they don't, you know, it doesn't seem like they're feeling a lot of pressure. Even though we do have this history at the World Cup, it does help that they're kind of flying under the radar while everybody's focusing on the rugby. So if we have a year to win the World Cup, I don't see why it wouldn't be this one. It's a very open. I don't think anybody's really going into the tournament as firm favorites. Obviously, India are playing at home, and they're an incredible team, and they probably are the favorites. But I don't think anybody would be shocked if the Proteas went on to lift the title. They seem comfortable. They seem confident. They're in pretty good form. And like I said, great players. So, yeah, I don't think it's a stretch, Trev, to say that really, I think this could be our year.
Before we wrap it, Wes, I've been reading through this week about the future of the 50-over game with the advent of what I like to call sook and hook cricket. That's T20. There's a chain of thought that this World Cup will determine whether there is a future for the 50-over format. It's been described as the big chance to breathe life back into the 50-over game. In summary, and I'll quote what one media outlet actually said, it is simply too pedestrian in the slipstream of the high velocity of the smash-and-grab T20 format. Wes, your views, where's 50-over cricket game going, do you feel?
I think there's still a place for it. I think what was necessary is that not only 50-over cricket, but test cricket as well, you know, because T20 cricket has become so popular, for those other formats to be able to thrive, they had to deliver more excitement. But I think that they have, you know. I think just in general, like you were saying earlier, the scores in 50-over cricket are much bigger now. The guys really are playing just across the world a completely different brand of cricket compared to what we would have seen maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And because they have managed to do that, I think the 50-over game certainly retains its place in the sport. I don't think it's in any danger. I think it's still probably the more prestigious World Cup title to win over the T20 one, even though that is more popular and sort of more exciting. So I like 50-over cricket, and I hope it keeps its place.
And that's where we'll call stumps on our cricket conversation. I'm sure we'll have the opportunity to chat often in the coming 6 weeks, Wes. But before I let you go, you know what's coming. It's our weekly Flop and Gold Star feature here on Talking Point, where we hail excellence and we bash mediocrity. My flop of the week, and my producer sitting to the right of me with his Liverpool shirt on, I'm quite sure he's not going to be too chuffed with this one. But the VAR officials in the Spurs-Liverpool, the disallowed goal debacle springs to mind immediately. That one certainly caused a stink. But I'm going to award the flop of this week, though, to Manchester United. Despite such high expectations that this could be their season, they've been a spectacular flop so far, to be quite honest. They've slumped to 10th place in the English Premiership log. They've lost both their Champions League group matches, staring at a possible early exit there. So my flop of the week, Manchester United. My gold star, well, that goes to Luke Donald and his European Ryder Cup golf team, where he gained the prestigious trophy on home soil in Rome, putting the 2021 nightmare behind them. Now 32 years that the Americans have failed to annex the title on European soil. Wes, how are you looking?
I think my flop of the week has got to be given jointly to the South African government and the World Anti-Doping Agency. They are starting to punish teams and sports and fans and athletes for the government not updating its anti-doping code, which I understand needs to be done. But if WADA has an issue with that, I just feel like the only time teams or athletes should be punished in terms of anti-doping is if they are caught cheating, and they haven't been. So I think not allowing the South African flag to fly at major tournaments from next week is the wrong way to go. I think that they should probably come up with some sort of other way to deal with this problem rather than punishing people who haven't really done anything wrong. And my gold star of the week, got to go to the South African half marathon team. They ran incredibly well at the World Road Running Championships last week. They picked up a bronze medal in the men's race and lots of personal bests, very close to national records, some really brilliant performances. And the South African athletics team in general, I think, just hasn't competed as well as that at a major championship in probably about 6 years. So, yeah, I think they deserve it.
And on that note, that's where we'll wrap it. Have yourself a great sporting week with the Citizen as your companion, both online and in print. Wesley Botten, senior Citizen sports writer, thanks for joining us and sharing your wealth of sporting knowledge with us, in this case, cricket. Have a great week. My name's Trevor Cromer. This has been Talking Point. You'll find us on citizen.co.za. Click on Multimedia. The subsection is Podcasts. Why not follow Citizen News on Iono FM? You'll also find the podcast in both video as well as audio form on the Citizen's YouTube account. So why not go and check it out? Remember this, an old saying, it's not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. Have yourself a great sporting week. From me, Trevor. Cheers for now.